For me, Airbnb is more about meeting people and hospitality than anything else.
Welcome to the Airbnb Tales Podcast, episode number 4. This is your host, Manish Paul Simon. In this episode, you will get to hear the fascinating story of Saurav Arya. He is an entrepreneur, a TEDx speaker, he's from IIT, he's a globetrotter, he's a digital nomad, and of course, an Airbnb super host, and now a mega host also, because he has hosted more than 1,000 guests from around the world and has had 5-star reviews for almost all of his stays. He's also traveled to 50 plus countries, living the digital nomad lifestyle. So hi Saurav, I hope I've got everything in that intro. You could add to it if you feel I missed out something.
Thank you, Manish, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. No, man, that covered a lot, man. Thanks for the intro.
Right. Okay. So before we get to the Airbnb part of the episode, tell us about A Year Full of Sundays.
All right. So as the name suggests, it was all about 1 year full of Sundays. Like every day in the year was a Sunday. Sunday is the day when usually you don't have any plan, you just go with the flow. And yeah, you do what you want. So after working for 5 years in 9-to-5 setup, I decided to leave a gap year in 2012, and I called it A Couple of Sundays. So the whole idea was to travel around, live on a shoestring, and explore and decide what works for me, what I really want to do. So what I did was I traveled around Southeast Asia, Africa, and all around it. Yeah. And by the end of it, I realized that probably that's the lifestyle I need to sustain. That's what I would like to do there onwards, rather than going back to the usual 9-to-5 work life.
Right. So you worked for 5 years, you saved up, and you were traveling on your earnings, or were you also earning at the same time?
So yeah, that time I was traveling on my earnings. I was not working, but I was traveling on an extremely shoestring budget. So it's like staying with people on couch surfing or hitchhiking whenever possible.
Right.
So my budget was quite low.
Right. But is it still possible, even with a shoestring budget, to travel to so many continents and see so many countries? What is your tip? Like, how did you get it done apart from...
So thing is, I feel that the idea that traveling is expensive is a bullshit which is propagated by the tour companies.
Right.
I have met many backpackers who have been traveling on a shoestring for years and years. So yes, when it comes to inland travel, you can, most of the places around the world, you can hitchhike. So you can save on transportation. There are hospitality networks like Helpx, Wooping, and Couchsurfing, where you can get a place to stay for free in exchange for what you have to offer. Like at a lot of places, I offered to cook Indian meal in return of a place to stay for 2 days.
Nice. So tell us how you transitioned into Airbnb. You know, did you hear about Airbnb while you were traveling, or how did you get to hear about your Airbnb?
So I have been using hospitality network much before Airbnb existed. And so getting into Airbnb was quite a natural move. So just when Airbnb was getting some traction back in 2010, I think 2008 is when Airbnb came into being. And that time, I've been using Couchsurfing. So the idea of staying with a stranger was there in the mainstream thanks to Couchsurfing. But then, I never used Airbnb back then, although I knew about it. But when I got to Bangalore, and then, I was staying here, and I had to travel for a month in Europe. I planned a Euro trip. So I was looking for someone who can stay at my place and take care of it.
Right.
So that was the time I signed up as a host. And fortunately, within a week, we found someone who wanted to stay for a month that time.
Right.
And yeah, that was my first Airbnb guest. And we really got lucky, and we were so excited that we got someone for the entire duration. Like we wanted someone who could stay and take care of plants and take care of the place while we are away. And yeah, it was perfect fit.
So this was in 2012.
No, this was in 2013.
13, right.
Yeah.
So you have like around 12 listings on Airbnb, right now?
Yeah.
You started off with the one listing. So is that your own place, or have you taken a place to put it up on Airbnb.
Right. So it's the leased places, all the places that I have.
Okay. And you wanted to target only Koramangala because it's like the startup happening place of Bangalore?
So thing is, I really love meeting people, all different types of people from different places. And for me, it's like when I'm not traveling and when I host someone from a country where I have not been, it's like going to that place. So Airbnb is more about meeting people and hospitality than anything else. So that's the reason why I would like all my places to be close to where I live and stay, so that I could communicate, I could meet all my guests in person.
Right. Okay. So have you had any interesting stories or experiences to tell us during your hosting journey?
Lots and lots of, it's like that's the reason why I thought I should start documenting all the Airbnb stories. A lot of Airbnb guests end up being friends for life.
Right.
There's so many stories. What type of
stories? Do you feel was your favorite guest so far?
So first guest is always special, and the first guest I told you about, that the guy who decided to stay at our place for a month while we were Eurotripping. We keep messaging him and we thank him for being our first guest and taking care of the place while we were away. So Ellie is his name. Ellie will always be special.
He was from India, is it?
No, he's from US.
Okay, right.
Then, lots of when you ask me, like, there's so many stories that's coming to my mind, but I would like to know what type of story you're looking for, and maybe I can tell you.
Like, for example, our previous episode, we had Casey Kurula, where he spoke about how he had a guest who once overstayed a visa, and he had to go above and beyond in helping her get, go to Delhi and get a visa permit, you know, for those extra days which he stayed. Uh-huh. And that was kind of he did that big favor, and when he traveled to London, family came and visited him, thanked him, took him for a race in London. And that was kind of a very fascinating story which he told us, you know, where it's a to and fro between the guest and the host.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I can completely relate to it. It's like that only. You host someone and you become friends for life, and you are there together always. Like once I hosted a Brit guy who stayed with us for around a week, and then we became friends on Facebook, and we always had things to discuss about. And after a few months, there was this flood in Chennai that time.
Right.
He messaged us and he said that, I would like to donate to this flood. That time, a lot of people were raising funds so that they could send it to all those people who got affected by the flood.
Right.
Although he was in London that time, he said that I would like to donate, and I would like to I would like you to help me with that. So we were so happy to hear that, and we said that yes, of course, definitely. And then we posted on Facebook about we all are raising fund for this flood, all those people who got affected by the flood. And then a lot of Airbnb guests who stayed with us, they came forward, and together we raised some amount, and we bought few things which we could send to Chennai. So that was amazing. That was, we felt a sense of a very strong community where we can come together and make a difference.
Yes, exactly. It is all about the community as well, which when it comes to Airbnb.
Right.
What were the biggest challenges you faced when it came to hosting a guest?
So I would say hosting has been a very natural for me. I mean, I enjoy hosting, and I never had any big challenge, I would say. But at times, I feel like a lot of people, guests as well as hosts, they don't fill up their profiles, so it's a bit difficult to know about them. It helps a lot when when you go through a profile and you can read about that person, and you get to know a bit about your guest, you know, so that you know what to expect. I try my best to message my guests before they arrive about you know, just to get a bit idea about them. I asked them why they are here and what their expectations are, what they are looking forward to. It always helps when you know a bit about your guests so that you can decide what best you can do for your guests.
Right. Okay. I'm guessing you have a business model, because how do you run 12 listings at the same time, and you have a startup called Infographics as well, right? If I'm not mistaken. So how do you hustle between these two?
So yes, I mean, see, what happens is I try to outsource all those work which is not adding any value to me. As in, I love meeting people. I would try, I try my best to meet all my guests in person, but I can't take care of the complete Airbnb process from start to end, like cleaning. For cleaning, of course, right. we have a housekeeping guy who takes care of cleaning the place. For communication, I do have a co-host, and she takes care of the communications. At times, I'm occupied with my other work and I can't respond to each and every Airbnb messages, especially when I'm traveling. So I'm on this quest to visit all 197 countries. And whenever I get time, I like to go to a new place, new country. And so that time when I'm not in India, then I need someone who can take care of communication.
So you're traveling and hosting at the same time. You can manage that.
Yeah, right.
You also have a listing outside Bangalore, right? What is the story behind that?
No, I have all listing in Bangalore, and there's one listing back in my hometown, which is Patna.
Okay.
Yeah. So yes, we I think in Patna, this Airbnb is hardly present. It's like hardly few listings, and not many people know about it. But a lot of tourists go there to visit Bodh Gaya, which is quite famous. Most of the Buddhists, they get there. It's a pilgrimage for them. So we do host people who are on the way to Bodh Gaya from any international destination. So they take a pit stop in Patna before going to Bodh Gaya.
And do you own all the properties, in Bangalore, which you host from? Do you own all of them? You said that you leased out few of them, but I'm sure at least one should be yours, right?
No. As I said, I leased it all. I don't own it.
Right. So can you talk about how startup culture in Koramangala has influenced the way you host? Maybe you could give us some tips, or it's definitely had some influence on you, right? Because Flipkart and everything started in Koramangala, and you know, the way you manage time or the way you like get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So has Koramangala influenced you in a way?
Yes, it's like I have always been fascinated by the way Koramangala is shaping up, especially in the last 2-3 years. I can see it becoming like a global hub for startups. After WeWork came here in Koramangala, I can see there are many teams from around the world, small teams who are coming to Koramangala just to set up their small business. So Koramangala is extremely cosmopolitan, and the people here, those who stay here, they are extremely tech savvy. That's the reason why a lot of product companies, they prefer Koramangala for their pilot. Right. Whenever they are launching a new product, they prefer to launch it in Koramangala and then see, be it Denso or be it Swiggy. A lot of startups which has gone nationwide, which now they have rolled out to all different cities, they started from Koramangala. They thought that, okay, it's a small area which will be ideal for their, you know, initial pilot phase. So yes, because of that, I feel the culture here in Koramangala is quite fascinating, and it's ideal for startup.
And so, you keep going out with your guests for dinners and maybe for some events in and around Koramangala.
Right. Yes. So it's like this place has a lot to offer. A lot of different restaurants, cafe, and pubs, and all in a walking distance of 5 to 10 minutes. So I love showing around my guests. And because of what Koramangala has to offer, it attracts the right type of people. As in, many of the guests who come here, they are into startups. You know, they They come here either for internship, or they come here for starting their own venture, or they come to collaborate with other startups. So it's great to meet like-minded people.
But the only limitation is the traffic in that area, right?
I think Bangalore is a cluster of islands, and Koramangala is one island. And as long as you are not commuting out of Koramangala, inside Koramangala you can easily walk around. The traffic becomes an issue when you commute from one island to another island. If you're going from Koramangala to Indranagar, then that's the problem.
Right. Have you had any very negative experiences which you've never forgotten while hosting an Airbnb?
So yes, it's like at times it does happen that we get guests who have completely no idea about what Airbnb is. They expect
like a hotel.
They expect like there will always be someone asking them about like, or they will expect a hotel kind of treatment from like beginning till end. But Airbnb is not that. I want all my guests to feel at home and treat it like home, and do understand that at times I would be occupied with my other work and I can't be present at their door 24/7. So it happens. I won't like to pinpoint any specific incident, but I would say like around 5% of the time we get guests who have completely no idea about what peer-to-peer of stay is all about, and they expect a hotel type of setup.
So you accept all your guests, or do you like have you know, based on your intuition, you accept your guests?
I would love to filter my guests, and it would be great if I can, choose whom to host. But the thing is, for a host, Airbnb is not something extremely profitable thing.
Right.
Because you hardly make it 10% or 20%. At least that's what it is for me.
Right.
And I'm sure it's like there are so many listings now, and the competition is tough, and you can't assure, you never know how much would be the occupancy. Or even if the occupancy is there, in order to get 90% or 95% occupancy, probably you'll have to keep your rate low, you know, because there are other listings who probably would offer a better price. So all these things comes into picture. And because of that, I think most of the hosts end up using the instant booking option. So you have to.
Right. So you use instant booking as well?
Yes, of course. Yes, I have to. Otherwise, I don't know if my places won't be even get the occupancy of 50%. I think that's how it is on Airbnb.
But you've broken even and you're in profit now, right?
It varies from month to month.
Right. Like season and off season.
Yeah, Bangalore is not a touristic place, and at times you don't get many guests. And you are never very sure of how much will be the occupancy. So it's extremely tricky. Thing is, a lot of hosts, what they do is that they also host on booking.com, on RightStay, Make My Trip, IBGO,
right,
which I don't want. It just doesn't work with me.
So you do just Airbnb?
I just do peer-to-peer. And I can see that no one else in the market understands peer-to-peer other than Airbnb. All the Indian startup who even tried to venture into it, be it RightStay, or there was Stayzilla, which was there for a while, they failed miserably. They don't even understand how to build up the culture of peer-to-peer.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like, if not, it would have been for the love of hospitality or meeting getting to know people, I would not have been putting my time into it. It's just because of I'm coming from Couchsurfing and HelpX, that side, and it's just going on. And I feel happy if I host someone from a country where I have not been. It's like, as I said, it's like going to that.
Exactly. Place. You get the world to come to you, right?
Exactly.
And given the chance, if you get to do Airbnb full time, would you do it?
Being a host full time, I would think it's not, I mean, there are so many things I want to do. I would not like to stick myself to one thing.
Right.
I mean, what I like is to create systems and then create systems and then create another system. I would not like to restrict myself just to one thing.
Right. Okay. Let's get into the quick fire round where I ask you, you know, the nitty gritty of Airbnb, how you do hosting, what's your style and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are the basic essentials you provide for every new guest that comes to your house?
Yeah, so this basic essentials, now it has been already been standardized by Airbnb. Like all the hosts have to provide a towels, fresh linens, and shower gel and stuff. So all those there, that's there in the checklist. I make sure that's there. At the top of that, if I get to know a bit about my guests, I decide what else I can offer.
Like right.
So that depends. I love to customize it.
And do you get those small kutty soaps usually which you get in the hotels and all, right? Where you can give your guests and all that.
I hate it. I don't want it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Do you provide breakfast and is it complimentary or do you charge something for the same?
No, I don't provide complimentary breakfast because, it doesn't make sense. It's like a lot of guests who come to Koor Bangla, they want to eat out. They want to go out and have breakfast. Like in Koor Bangla, anyone who comes from anywhere else in India, they want to go and have breakfast at Hole in the Wall Cafe. It's so famous. So they won't like to have breakfast at home because of all these things. I mean, I love to suggest them where they can go out and have breakfast.
And since you have a lot of guests at the same time, do you keep a small gathering or a meetup or sorts for all the guests to come and get to know each other?
Right. Yeah, that's what at times. Yeah. So I do organize some events where we can go out and like on a Sunday, we can go out and have breakfast together. Or we can go for a movie together or we can just get together and play booking.
Okay. What is the first thing you share with your guests after their booking is confirmed? Like, what do you do as soon as it's confirmed? You're telling us about what is the first thing you share with your guests and all that.
So I have made a hand-illustrated map of Bangalore with the places of interest. So that comes extremely handy for those who have no idea about what Bangalore has to offer or anyone new to Bangalore.
Oh, nice.
So I share that. And then I have made a food map of Bangalore. I'm not sure if you have seen it. It's like a London tube map with the lines for the veg, non-veg, drinks and desserts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's all the joints on the map are crowdsourced or like those are the best rated place.
In whole of Bangalore.
Exactly. So that map gives a good idea about where you can go and what you can have.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, these two things, I think it would be great if all other hosts also start using it. And I'll be happy to share it with them because I can see that all my guests, they loved it. Like they feel it's extremely valuable when they can have these two maps with them.
Yeah, if you're happy to share it, I can add it in the show notes and the host can access and whoever is interested in Bangalore as well.
Right. So like we do have a group on WhatsApp where all the Airbnb hosts are there and we can also check over there. If they want it, I can send it to them.
Right. I forgot to ask you about your startup because I'm guessing you use your it's an infographic startup where you make infographics and all that, right?
Exactly. That's where it is coming from, both the Bangalore map and the food map of Bangalore.
So can you tell us a little more about your startup?
Exactly. So it's called Impressive Infographics and we make infographics and data visualization for online marketing and branding. So most of our clients are businesses who need help with marketing. We make custom infographics for their requirements.
Nice. And how long have you been running this startup for?
So it's been 4 years now.
Okay.
Before that, it was like at Herschel. I was previously when I was working as a supply chain professional. Then that time, so I've always been interested in visualizing. So that time it was like a side hustle. But when I decided to start traveling, I thought it makes sense to go full time with it have a name for it and start making infographics for businesses.
Nice. So you transitioned through different careers in your life, right? From a mechanical engineer to
I think it's 2018 and I don't think that there is anything called career. What I see is anytime you can get into anything and there is nothing stopping you.
There's nothing structured or stringent. You can do whatever you feel like to, right? Or you're passionate about.
Exactly. And go with the time. For example, I'm sure it's true for everyone, and those who want to, they are doing it. And you can see examples all around in Bangalore. People have a full-time IT job. At the same time, they are into, they have some passion or they are into something and something else, and they make sure that they have time for that as well. Like on Instagram, you can see there are so many bloggers, Instagram influencers, fashion bloggers, lifestyle bloggers, food bloggers. Right. You go to any flea market and you'll see so many different types of designers or chef, or, you know, so it's the time of the on-demand and share economy. And
right.
It's so great to see that people are actually monetizing their passion.
Yeah. And you don't believe in the old mindset where you work for 20, 30, 40 years and then you live your life after retirement.
Absolutely not. Come on, it's 2018, we're done with it.
Right. Nowadays, there are guys in their 20s and 30s who like live their life, you know, just like you, go travel, then come back, do some other kind of a small business, make money again, go travel, or make money on the go, right?
Exactly. And what I feel is that those who are in their early 20s, they have a lot to teach those who are in their 30s and 40s.
Right.
Because those who are in their 20s, they are more aware of what's going on, and as in they are well adapted to this new change. And those who are maybe those who are in their late 30s or 40s, they're still stuck in the old mindset.
Exactly.
Of career.
So that's the sad part in India, right? You need to convince your parents that times are changing, and still they're a little stubborn. They don't believe in it completely because maybe they don't see the results.
Yeah, so I mean, there is a reason for it. I don't think that you have to convince them. I don't think you need to. You just have to. They are coming from the time where all throughout their life they were in one job, right?
Right.
So times are changing, and it doesn't make sense to convince them. Just do what you think you should be doing, and don't care about what other people are thinking. I think it's. And you are not, you don't have to take permission from anyone.
Right? Yeah, exactly. We take a lot of permission from a lot of people.
That's rooted
in our genes.
Yeah, right. That's not how it should be. Like, you'll be missing a lot when you get there. As I always tell others, it's always better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. It should be.
That was an interesting conversation which we had. Now, let's get back to the Airbnb part. Do you use any apps or services that helps you run your hosting or makes your hosting a little smoother?
At the moment, no. I think there are some apps, especially in the Western market, using which you can automate the housekeeping part. But I think that...
What is it called?
I don't exactly remember the name, but that caters to the US market at the moment. Anything like that in India, or maybe it's not needed because here the labor is so cheap and you can hire someone on a monthly basis rather than on demand for housekeeping.
Yeah, right. And I think, Airbnb is just started in India, so the market is not right, still not yet come, right, where we can have small niches or startups within the Airbnb, like an offshoot of Airbnb, right?
No, not just that. There is another thing that, that the ecosystem will evolve if the Airbnb actually is profitable for their host. So there was this research where somebody did some research and found that which are the places which are actually good for hosting people. India doesn't rank in the top. Of course, you can host people. It's not extremely profitable. It gets profitable when the rentals that or the Airbnb rentals that you are getting is much much higher than the rental you are paying or the mortgage you are paying. You know what I mean?
No, I didn't get you.
What I mean to say is that let's say you have a place and either you are paying the rental or you are paying mortgage, right? If you have bought it. So if that is significantly lesser than the money you're making from Airbnb, that is the Airbnb rental, then it's in profit, right?
Right, right.
India is not a market where there is big gap between these.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, yeah.
So there are places like, there are, in US, of course, you can, when the rentals, daily rentals are much higher. And in the Western market, daily rentals are much higher.
Yeah, so absolutely.
The margin is more over there. Then there are some certain places in the, in certain parts of India where the monthly rental is too low, as in the rental of the property. Like, let's say in any tier 2 or tier 3 city,
right,
in India, where you can get a 2 BHK place for maybe less than $150 or less than 10,000.
Yeah.
Right? So probably in that kind of a city, if you're getting an occupancy of 80-90%, then you'll be making some good money, right?
Right, right.
But in the big cities in Mumbai or Delhi, I think it gets tricky with so many listings, so much of competition, and the rentals also being high. You know what I mean? Right,
right? That's true, yeah.
Because of all these things, I think that the ecosystem is not developing, or I feel that ecosystem will develop at a place where there is a, where the hosts make enough money and they want to invest in the other services, which makes it even easier for them.
Yeah, that's true. So that's a little setback for the guys who don't own properties, and the landlords, if they get into an Airbnb, they can make a killing, right?
Yes, I think when it comes to peer-to-peer of the stay, it's a, like what you said, a lot of people think like that, but I don't think that any of the, like all the builders or the real estate developers, they even are thinking of getting into peer-to-peer market. It's very tricky, and it's like when it comes to peer-to-peer, what those people, the guests, what they expect is personalization, customization, and those developers, they don't want that. They mean they would like to sell it off. Because they had raised money from different sources, and they would like to sell it off rather than get into peer-to-peer space.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's like I know what you mean, but how I see is it depends on which market you are in. So it's like, I have seen Airbnbs in different parts of the world, and I see how the real estate market in different places differs. In India, I don't see it makes sense for any business. And that's perhaps the reason why the businesses are not getting into the peer-to-peer of stay. It will always be individual's game.
Right,
it's
right.
Peer-to-peer. That is the USP.
Right. And yeah. Coming to individuals, like, since you have more than 800 guests, I'm sure your earnings should be pretty decent. But have you registered for a GST number, or, like what it mandates us to, to register?
Right. Yes, I have registered for the GST number.
Okay. And how do you deal with the taxes?
Like, I have an accountant who takes care of it.
Okay. So there's no rocket science, right? Anyone can...
Just hire someone.
Okay. All right. And what is the number one tip you would like to give to all the Airbnb hosts out there?
I would say the customization. They should understand that it's every guest have a different requirement, and it makes a huge difference when you go and meet your guests, and if you customize your service offering depending on who they are, where they're coming from, and what they are expecting.
Nice. Okay. And also, us Indians, we have a little anxiety, or, we get a little anxious. Even for my case, when we had our first foreign guest, we were a little nervous. So what tips would you give to a Airbnb host who hosts a foreigner for the first time?
It's just that to be open-minded and enjoy the experience. It's always, there's so much to learn when you're hosting someone from a different culture. It's like also you get to see your own country through them. It's like a lot of things we take it for granted, but only when we host someone from a different place and they point it out, like, and they ask me questions. So they ask me questions which otherwise we don't usually think about, right? So,
right.
Yeah, so it's like, I think all the hosts should be excited about hosting people from different culture, and they should keep an open mind and not be afraid of anything. Like, it's as in, don't be nervous or don't feel bad. It's like all the other guests who are coming from different cultures, they also understand that things might not be as expected, or they will be, they might be, you know, it's, they do know that they're in a different culture and they enjoy the change, and right. You can be yourself.
And how has Airbnb impacted your life?
Being part of the global culture has always been part of my life, and Airbnb helps me with that. So yes, I love meeting people from different cultures and love sharing stories, building stories with them, moments and memories that last a lifetime. So yes, I can't imagine my life without that lifestyle. And it's been like that, and going forward, I would like to continue.
Okay. And before I let you go, have you met, like, you obviously are a big traveler. Have you met any travel Airbnb guest who stayed with you in their own country, or have you had any sort of an experience like that?
As in someone whom I hosted and they hosted me back in their home country?
Or maybe you would have met them later on, something like that.
Yes, that keeps happening. That keeps happening on Airbnb as well as Couchsurfing. So yes, it's always like that.
And do you use Airbnb to travel, or is it a mix of everything?
No, yeah, I use Airbnb for travel. So it's always like that. I use it as a guest as well as a host. But it depends on the geographies, where in the world you are going. There are still places where you don't find Airbnb. I was in, like last month, I was in East Africa. I was in Ethiopia, Rwanda, Uganda.
Wow.
And Kenya. And in the countryside, you won't find Airbnb. It's not there yet. So it depends on where in the world you are. In the Western world, of course, there are Airbnbs everywhere. In China, in certain places, I was in the Western China, and there was no Airbnb. In Xinjiang, it was difficult to find. Kashgar, Urumqi, very difficult to find.
Wow, okay. And which is the next country you'll be traveling to?
I don't know yet. I haven't booked the ticket. It's always impromptu. I just book tickets and go.
Nice.
So,
and I forgot to ask you this, but how have you, you used social networking to, you know, get more guests or put out a word about your listings into the world?
I think that if the word of mouth helps the best. So if you're giving your best to the guests, they are going to tell to their friends, and it has happened. Like, a lot of times our guests, they refer their friends. Oh, if you're going to Bangalore, you have to stay here. So I think that's best. That's the most old school way and the best way to grow through word of mouth.
Right. And but you still have your Instagram handles and Airbnb Bangalore, right?
Yes, Airbnb Bangalore Instagram handle is there, and there I am writing about everything about the place, about the people, about how is it to host. But that presently, I don't think has become a place through which people would inquire. People usually come to Airbnb site and inquire about the place, the host, about the booking.
But it's a good way for your guests to stay in touch with you, or stay in touch with your listings and all that.
And share stories. In fact, that's what Airbnb is going to do next. They have already announced that they are coming up with a feature of story. Like, the story is now everywhere. All the platforms want to launch stories.
Right,
and Airbnb has announced that they want to put stories where, so that the guests and the host, they can share small clips of how is it to stay there. Yeah, that will give the guest a more real idea about how the place is like and what to expect.
Wow, nice. Okay. And what is the one thing that you feel that I should have asked, but I didn't?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I think
it can be anything, you know. It doesn't have to be related to Airbnb.
Okay. A couple of things. First, when you were giving an intro, I think you mentioned about my travels. I think we didn't have much conversation about this lifelong quest of visiting all the countries, and it's been 84 so far.
Wow, almost. Okay.
And yeah, I mean, so I think one thing we didn't touch, it's a bit off Airbnb, but I think it might interest you and your audience.
Yeah, go ahead.
As an Indian, I'm on this quest to visit all 197 countries, and I'm very happy to help other Indian travelers who want to go out and explore. I take workshops on how and why to travel around the world. And I feel that many Indian travelers, they feel that it's expensive, or they feel that it's difficult, but it's not. And it does make sense. Everyone loves to travel because everyone loves to explore. I think it's always great to explore, like a 4-year-old kid being curious about things that you don't know about, isn't it? What I would like to share is that it's definitely possible, and now is the best time to. It's not that difficult, and it's not like you have to save a lot. It's just about prioritizing things. And if you want, you can definitely have this lifestyle where you can be on the move, be a digital nomad, and follow your passion.
And what is a digital nomad?
Now, digital nomad means all those people who are traveling and working at the same time.
Oh, nice. There's a lot of people doing that, right?
Lots and lots of. That's how the work is changing. The 9-to-5 work setup working from the office is gone. I think we'll require a different call altogether to discuss digital nomad thing.
But the digital nomad scene is not that big in India as of now. Maybe later it might get
bigger. Yes, it's just happening. It's at a very early stage, but it's bound to. Like with all the data we have, I'm pretty sure that this office culture, the office culture which has been there for the last 150 years, the aftermath of Industrial Revolution, working from 9-to-5, is about to die. And that's why we have co-working spaces coming up everywhere.
WeWork and so many other co-working spaces.
Right. There is a rise of solopreneurs. And in coming years, it's going to be a big, steep jump. Like either people will start working for themselves, or the businesses will allow them to work remotely. Businesses can't afford to have physical spaces everywhere. It's expensive. And also it's inefficient.
Yeah, plus the pollution and the traffic and all that which happens in India, right?
So many things coming together at one place. It doesn't make sense to commute in Bangalore traffic for 3 to 4 hours in a day.
I swear.
You can work from anywhere. And also at the same time, I would not want to hire people locally. If I can have a best talent, if I can have a good designer in Russia, why should I restrict myself just to India?
So are you doing that right now? As in, are you hiring people from overseas for your projects?
Of
course. Oh, nice.
Makes sense. Not just me, everyone is doing that. It does make sense.
Right. And I'll just link this question with the previous questions as well. I wanted to ask you about hosting unmarried couples. Is that an issue? Do your neighbors judge you for that?
I don't even understand. In certain parts of India, it's an issue, but I don't think in Bangalore, or especially the South Bangalore area, people have any issue with that. I can't get that.
It's very ironical, right? Because even some hosts, they're fine with having foreign unmarried couples, but Indian unmarried couples is a no-no.
Yeah, that's so strange. And that, like, just think about it. Like, think about it for some time and you'll get the answer. I can't stand it. Why are you moral policing them? You are not a moral police.
Right.
Like, they don't even need to reveal how they two are related.
Exactly. Like,
So when I was dating my wife back in 2011, 2012, that time we were not, I don't think that Airbnb was in a very early phase right now, and they were not here in India. So I used to go to Delhi. I used to fly to Delhi to date my wife, my girlfriend. And we had such a bad time finding a place to stay, because in Delhi, there is this thing that locals cannot stay. Like, locals will need a ID card. Everyone needs to show the ID card. And in Delhi, you can't stay if you are a local. So because of all these things, we had such a hard time. And now we think that, oh, the life would have been so easier if Airbnb would have been there that time. You know, we could have stayed at the Airbnb places.
Yeah, right. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Saurav, thanks for your very valuable time and all the really good information that you have shared with our listeners. You guys can find all the information in the show notes, which I will be attaching in our blog. And anything else you would like to say before we come to a close?
That's all, Manish. Thanks a lot for the podcast. And all I would say to the audience is that if you haven't used Airbnb as a host or guest, you should. It's amazing. And any day, much, much better than any of the hotel stay you ever had.
All right, Saurav, thanks for your time. And we'll see you on the flip side.